we sleep for a thousand years. I will see you again. Something is coming, coming for me.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn. Listener-supported, non-commercial radio, featuring local and independent artists.
The following program has been pre-recorded. The views expressed by the participants are not necessarily those of WHFR Radio or Henry Ford College. Welcome to We Are Not Alone. Where local investigators as well as world-renowned scientists and ufologists share their latest evidence in support of the UFO reality. I'm David Twitchell, and you are listening to WHFR Dearborn. WHFR.fm is the station making waves, and for the next hour, we'll be exploring the mysteries of the UFO and abduction phenomenon. We're going to take a left turn here at the show today. Instead of interviewing some expert on ufology, I thought it would be fair to get the perception of the layman. Studies have shown that the higher the education level of the individual, the more apt they are to accept the evidence that we are being visited by a more advanced race of beings. Jennifer Stewart is an instructor right here at Henry Ford College. She teaches a sign language to the deaf and the hard of hearing. And Jennifer is a child of a deaf adult. She is a native speaker of most American Sign Language and English. She obtained her Associates of Applied Science in ASL Interpretations for the Deaf, as well as the Deaf Studies Certificate from Sinclair Community College. While working full-time as an ASL interpreter, she continued her education and received her bachelor's degree in ASL, Interpretation for the Deaf. Recognizing her talents for teaching, Jenny, if I might call you Jenny, graduated with a master's degree in special education and a teaching certificate for the deaf and hard of hearing. And being thirsty for knowledge, she plans to continue with her education. Outside of her chosen career, she finds the UFO topic of great interest. I have her right here in the studio with me, so let's ask her where that interest comes from. Welcome to the show, Jenny.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I'm really excited to be here, and I like that you're allowing someone who is not an expert or not a researcher to come on and just kind of share some general opinions.
Right. Well, That's what it's all about, getting the public involved, you know, not necessarily a expert in the field.
Right.
But the public at large.
Exactly.
So what first got your interest in the UFO topic?
I can't even date back to when I first became interested. It's always been kind of a joke in my family, because I grew up always including aliens in my little stories. You know how children tell stories?
Right.
You know, they make things up. for me, for some reason, an alien always ended up being in the story. I think from a very young age, I was just intrigued. And I was like, why aren't we talking about this more? This is so cool. So since then, I kind of would think about it a lot. I'd watch all these documentaries. And as I got older, my need to find out more and talk about it more and learn more just increased. And I think within the last 10 years, media has really increased on it as well. And we're becoming more knowledgeable and more accepting of the belief. And I'm right in there with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
When you say media,
yeah.
Mainstream media is what you're talking about?
I think so, to some extent.
Yeah.
You know, we have all these movies that come out and we call them sci-fi, but I'm like, it's more real. It's more real.
These movies that come out, the sci-fi movies, they always have aliens as the bad guy.
Right.
And they're trying to take us over. Do you believe that that's the case in real life?
Well, I think if there were the bad guys who were trying to take us over, they probably would have already done that.
There you go.
I'm sitting here today just talking to you and no aliens trying to take over. however, I think that comes from the notion of we are scared. And I think that's why we make them the bad guy. If we weren't so scared, they wouldn't be the bad guy.
Also, your point is well accepted. But also, I would say that that's the way we humans would act or interact. If we were to go to another planet and find intelligent beings, albeit less advanced than us, we would try to take them over. We would try to take their resources, don't you think?
Well, I think we would do what they're doing. Is I think they would come and they would observe us. They would maybe take some of us.
Yeah.
They would run experiments. They would observe. I mean, I would go as far as to say my belief is more rooted in they may be the reason why we're here. And they may be the reason why we were put here. You know, that's a strong belief. But I have to, for my own opinion, is that they are so powerful and ET is out there and they do have the technology available that I think they have a lot of the reason why we're here today. Because I think they could very easily make it so that we are not.
Yeah. But you say they're the reason we're here today. Are you talking about genetic engineering between themselves and maybe a primate on Earth?
You know, I don't know. I would say I'm dating this back.
Well, that goes pretty far back.
Yeah, millions, millions of years.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, okay. We'll just start with, you know, an introduction to what I'm kind of thinking here. So, first of all, again, I am not a scientist. I am not a researcher. I've never even had a personal encounter or an ET experience before. But since I was young, the obsession started with how did we get here? Who put us here? Why are we here? What is our purpose? And I think everyone has those questions throughout life. And a lot of us turn to religion, God, all these things for answers, which is wonderful in itself. However, you know, I started thinking even more deep than that, past that, thinking, okay, it's kind of strange how we're just floating around on a giant rock in the universe.
Mm-hmm.
And the universe, meaning we don't even know the universe, the whole universe. All we know is our little neighborhood of a universe that we've only barely even explored that.
Mm-hmm.
So then on top of that, why aren't we asking more questions? And why are we so comfortable with kind of being ignorant with our own existence on this planet? And I think the ignorance is what started getting me as I got older. I started realizing, okay, the ignorance that we all have, meaning we don't know anything about it, is what's keeping us kind of complacent and keeping us comfortable. Because the more we find out and the more an individual talks about it and the more we start to explore, the more scared, or I guess we could say woke, we all become regarding the topic.
Yeah.
And I don't know if, you know, the government doesn't want that. I don't think they don't want people out of place because things like the Area 51 raid will start happening, which, you know, the more we become knowledgeable. It was pointless, but I think it served a really good purpose.
Mm.
I think the purpose was, you know, the younger generation, especially Gen X, millennials, we want answers. We're doing more research. We're out here really trying to find what's going on. And although it started as a joke, you know, we can talk about the Area 51 raid.
We can talk about anything.
Yeah. I know it started. It started with a joke. And it started, you know, let's just kind of laugh about it. And, you know, they can't stop us all. And I get that. It's all, yeah. all run through social media, through yeah. Facebook. And over 2 million people said they wanted to attend. And that's all wonderful. But I think that proves that, hey, even though it was funny and kind of silly and ended up being more of a joke, that's the interest we have today. The layman, you know, the layman person out here, the person who knows not.
We want to know.
We want answers.
You're talking about ignorance. Now, everybody is ignorant of one subject or another.
Right.
So there's no shame in being ignorant of this subject.
Absolutely.
The shame is wanting to remain that way.
I would agree.
Okay.
I would agree for that and many other subjects in life.
You may quote me.
Ooh, I like it. Say the quote again for the record.
I forget what it was.
Okay. Well, glad this is recorded. So, I mean, I agree with that. And I think the people who want these answers were the ones who typically look a little bit more deep into what society is kind of set up as the norm. Mm-hmm. And then we start questioning that. Wait, hold on. Why is that the norm? Why have we just accepted complacency when it comes to our limited knowledge on ET?
Right.
I mean,
so what does the average person do that happens to be listening right now? Mm-hmm. I've always thought, you know, if they're not interested in the subject, they don't believe in the subject, they won't be listening. Right. I have found out that that attitude is incorrect. Some people want to find out. Mm-hmm. Some people want to listen to this show just to say, oh, those people are crazy. And but here's a nugget of of information I didn't know.
Okay.
You know, it's like, it's just silly people that wear tinfoil hats that believe in this and don't have much education.
Oh.
And
ouch.
Oh, really? That's why I wanted to get someone like you in here. And not necessarily say, you know, what did your research show, but why do you believe in this? You're just the average, average Jenny. I won't say Joe Blow.
Thank you. You know, my mom would say I'm above average, but I'll accept that.
Well, sure, she's mom. You know.
No, why do we choose, us average people, why does the average individual choose to believe in anything?
Right.
Okay, so we all have been, I guess, convinced or, you know, without sounding too negative, manipulated, whatever, into believing whatever we have chosen to believe in life to get us through life. Yeah. And I think it all comes down to we are pretty convinced by the public opinion when it comes to a lot of things. However, what makes someone like me believe, whereas someone right next to me may not, I think an open mind, the ability to take in information and see that it's true, the ability to recognize that not everything is seen with your eyes, and hearing these stories and choosing to believe them. We have so many people who have come forward. It's not just something someone wakes up and decides to do, okay? Mm-hmm, it's impacted right. so many lives. As I was researching for this show, doing my own little very basic research, I found a website that I shared with a few of my friends about different encounters that are reported. It's called the National UFO Reporting Center. And you can just hop online. And I looked for specifically right here in Michigan. And there's hundreds of people who have gotten online and have reported these UFO sightings and these different anomalies that have happened to them. And they just are continuous, you know, 9/28/2019. Okay. They saw a shape of a triangle for 20 minutes, multiple low flying objects seemingly in a straight path across the sky, red and white flashing lights. These objects appeared and then disappeared. And this is right here in Michigan. And there's countless numbers of these. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we can just say, It was probably an airplane, which is what the average. Yeah, that's a great excuse to give for these thousands and thousands, if not millions, of reportings over time. But there comes a time when you're like, you know what? It's not.
It's not.
And the government is now admitting to things. And we have these really intelligent individuals who are coming forward, who are ex-military, who are saying, listen, you know what? There's more to this story, and we need to start talking about it. And I also think there's a comfort in feeling – there's two different comfort levels. There's a comfort in feeling like we're the only people on this planet. I think the average individual feels very comfortable being like, okay, we're the only planet. Oh, maybe there are other planets out there, but let's not talk about it. Let's just focus right here on Earth, and I'm comfortable, and time travel doesn't exist, and all these things don't exist, and this is what I choose to believe exists because that makes me feel safe.
And that's what we grew up with.
That's what we grew up
with. That's what Mama told us. That's what our teachers told us. And that's what our clergy told us.
That's right.
And then one day people start thinking for themselves.
Oh.
That's frightening.
Stop. Isn't it? Don't do that. don't do that. That's when good things happen. Yeah. And so then we start feeling a little bit unsafe, but then I, on the other hand, and maybe people like me who believe what I believe, I feel more safe in knowing that we're not the only planet out here with life. There's people visiting us. There's ET visiting us. There's people from a different planet, from a different world, from a different universe who are coming and monitoring us. And this has been happening since the beginning of Earth. Since the beginning of time, it's been happening. And I'm here to say, you know, let's start accepting it. Let's start looking into it. And I'm hoping over time, within my lifetime at least, we'll get more confirmation on it being real.
Yeah, more confirmation. Well, they have all said we need disclosure, disclosure, disclosure. I think we've had disclosure. I think the Pentagon, you've read up on the Pentagon admitting that they've been studying the UFO phenomenon since they said they weren't studying it anymore.
Mm-hmm.
And also, high officials, mm-hmm. Chris Mellon, for example, Air Force, Navy personnel,
yep.
have admitted all of this. And what do you need? Do you need the President of the United States to come forward and say, yeah, what they said? You know, I don't think it's necessary. Do you?
Well, no.
What constitutes disclosure?
Yeah, I think the general public does, actually, and I'm not speaking for myself, but I'm speaking for the general public. I think they do need to hear things from someone like a president, an active, because I do think that they need that confirmation. I do not personally, however, I do think that a lot of people need someone to come forward, a public figure of high authority, and say, hey, this is what's going on. This is real.
Okay.
And I mean, we've had ex-military, which I believe is a higher authority, a very credible source, but that isn't enough for a lot of people. For some reason, we have it in our minds that if someone of a higher authority tells us, then we are more likely to believe and follow that. We struggle, I think, as a public to think for ourselves when it comes to a lot of things, especially things that are controversial.
Right. Okay, so I was going to ask something. What was it? You have said, okay, disclosure. We're talking about disclosure. And okay, you need a president or something. Which president are we talking? Because, you know, France has admitted to their people, this is real. Mexico, Colombia, and I could read off a host of countries that have said, yes, we are, you know, the UFOs are real, and we suspect that they're from another planet more advanced than us.
Mm-hmm.
And their people go along, they say, wow, that's something. Or most of them just say, yeah, we know.
Yeah, okay, and?
But they go along with their lives, and, you know, they're not adversely affected.
Yeah.
In any way.
And I think that's a lot of the reason why. people choose to ignore, not explore, because we're not necessarily affected.
Say that again.
People choose to ignore or not explore. You can quote me on that.
I could quote you on
yeah,
that.
Yeah. But, you know, because it's if I'm not affected in my daily life by an alien encounter,
there
by
ET,
yeah. then why would I choose to explore it? Right. Why do I choose to find meaning in it? And I think that's a lot of the reason why people choose to explore, you know, religion or whatever,
right.
you know, that higher power. And I think like religion, not necessarily God, but like a higher power and religions in particular are, it's a specific topic that I don't necessarily want to get into, but you know, my own beliefs of creation or religions for control purposes or to give people comfort, whatever it may be, it's all wonderful in its own fact, you know, because it gives people that safety and security.
Mm-hmm.
But because I think it's scary to think, okay, being alone is too much for an average individual to handle. If we're alone, you know, it makes us insecure. You know, what's my purpose? So, you know, we have these higher powers, which are, you know, give us purpose, give us morals, and gives us something to believe in. So then, that's kind of how I coincide it with something like ET, like, you know, not saying they're a higher power or something, but it's something that we choose to believe in to make us also feel safe to some extent.
Right.
And some people find it the opposite. They find it horrifying.
That is what Arthur C. Clarke once said.
What did he say?
And may I quote him?
Okay.
He said, we are either alone in the universe or we are not. And either scenario is frightening.
Yeah, that's the truth.
I need to take a break right now just to remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. I'm David Twitchell. You're listening to We Are Not Alone, and we're talking to an instructor here at Henry Ford College, and that's Jenny Stewart. Forgot to ask you, may I call you Jenny?
Please do.
I just did.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Now back to this.
Yeah, and I do not wear a tinfoil hat. Do not own a tinfoil hat. however, after this interview, I may go get one. I always say one of my favorite movies is...
Signs.
Okay, I love Signs. I do love Signs. Independence Day.
Oh, yeah. That was a great movie, but once again, aliens are attacking.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah, I want to talk about that more.
Go ahead.
Because aliens, okay, in my mind, of course, I'm talking my perspective, not a scientist's perspective, okay? No one quote me on this. No one come after me for what I'm saying. But my own opinion is that, you know, aliens are right here on Earth with us. They're hanging out. They're hanging out.
How do you know that?
How do I know that? I don't know it, but it's what I'm choosing to believe. I know it in that, we see the flying saucers. We see their spacecrafts, whatever you want to call them. We've seen them. Mm-hmm. Okay, multiple people see them. So we know they have a device they fly in, okay, and they monitor us.
Mm-hmm.
Here on this planet, I believe they can look like anything. I believe their technology is obviously so incredibly advanced. It's anti-gravity. Obviously they're way ahead of the times. I think they can look like anyone, and they can come here and hang out just like anyone can. I guess Men in Black explored that. Now that I'm making that connection, but not with the silly effect of that. I really right. believe that they're here and they're taking it in. They're gaining information. They're maybe monitoring us. They're maybe even helping us along. Yeah. I don't necessarily look at them as a bad thing. If they were a bad thing, they could have killed us off by now.
Certainly. Have you studied any of the alleged type of aliens? The Greys, the reptilian? Nordics.
I've heard of that. I've heard of these different types, and obviously, like the Bob Lazar interview is one of the most famous ones, and he says they are small and they are gray.
The ones he encountered.
Correct.
The ones he encountered. However, there are also the Nordics. The Nordics are called the Nordics because they have blonde hair and fine features. and they look like people from Norway. Okay.
Okay.
So, is it possible? Do you think it's possible that one of those Nordics, shall we say, let's call them Nordics,
okay,
but they're alien and look like us,
mm-hmm,
had something to do with humanity's birth?
Are you saying, did these people, these aliens, put us on this planet?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a belief that you can quite easily have. I don't think it's so far-fetched to believe that we obviously got here somehow. And mm-hmm, evolution obviously played a part in a lot of this over billions of years. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think it's so crazy to believe that another planet's beings has inhabited this planet or helped even create this planet.
Mm.
And we have come from that,
right,
somehow.
There's also the theory of, maybe you've heard of it, panspermia. Okay? Just imagine a dandelion that is, went to seed.
Yep.
You shake it and it goes all over the
right,
field. Some of it falls on rock. You've read this in the Bible, if you follow the Bible. Some of the seeds fall on rock, others fall on fertile ground. That's also going on in space.
Mm-hmm.
We know that because of the meteorite that was found with the... I'm not going to say the word. We had a little bug in it.
Mm-hmm.
A living creature, okay? Well, that traveled through space. And panspermia is, some of this debris from other planets, meteorites hit other planets and send dust out and land on Earth, land on other planets,
mm-hmm,
okay? And if they land on a planet that can sustain that life, it develops on this planet.
They flourish and grow.
There you go.
Mm-hmm.
So just think of panspermia as the seeds from other planets.
Are you saying they fell and these we were created?
Well, the amino acids, whatever's necessary, mm-hmm, to build our
us.
Build
mm-hmm
us,
mm-hmm,
have come from space and landed on this planet. And
that makes perfect sense to me.
Mm.
I just think that all these questions,
mm-hmm,
are frustrating to me. I get frustrated talking about it. I get so frustrated. there's times I call it my moments where I lay in bed and I think, it's right before I go to bed. This is when it all comes. And I'm thinking, how did we get here? Why are we here? Why don't we know more? Someone tell me. I'm getting frustrated. What's this? What's that? And I get overwhelmed with all of this because right, there's really no answers other than,
Yeah, there are answers.
There are answers, but there's no... You know what? There's a lot of different answers.
Yeah.
There's a lot of different answers and beliefs that you can have. The answers that I believe in may be different than someone else's.
Yeah.
But even me at my current age, I have not fully come to a conclusion regarding my own answers. That's right, why I'm saying there's a lot of answers. There's a lot of research and there's a lot of opinions and there's a lot of scientific research,
mm-hmm,
which I try to follow the most, of course. But I have not come to any conclusion as to exactly, I can't comprehend how a lot of these things are happening, and that to me is frustrating. Like I don't have the ability in my own mind to comprehend the existence. Someone I know before I came on this told me this, and I wrote it down because I thought, ooh, you nailed it. So their analogy are ants in an anthill.
Mm-hmm.
Like ants have zero comprehension of who we are,
right,
or what we are. They just do their own thing. You know, they don't even have the ability to know what the heck we are. They don't even know. They have no comprehension of us.
And they just live
their lives.
Either.
They don't care. They just live their lives. And they don't think, oh, look at these humans who have control over us and they can destroy. Like, they don't know that. They just live in their own world without knowledge.
Right.
And they, and we have somewhat control over them, but they are unknowing of that. They are ignorant to us. Well, we're the ants.
Right.
We're the ants.
Right.
And we're so blinded by the incredible amount of technology that ET encompasses and that this outside world has access to that we don't even comprehend to think of,
mm-hmm.
That we don't even know that they're watching us or that maybe they're even controlling us or that they have so much impact on us. And that's why the average person's like, well, they don't, because they don't feel that immediate effect unless they are personally affected.
Yes.
Like unless that ant hill is personally destroyed.
Yeah.
And all their little ant friends see them.
Right.
All these other ant hills have no idea. It's like people who were abducted or people who have had sightings, they are then personally influenced and therefore their opinions change. But
yeah.
Everyone else
who
is not personally influenced,
well, I've often said you have to have your own experience, be it a sighting or a contact, before you can honestly say, now I believe.
Well, how do I believe? I've never had that. I've never had
that. You know what? You are an intelligent person, obviously. And not just because you got a degree, but how many degrees do you have anyway?
I have 3 degrees and 1 certificate.
So you see, that aside, you were intelligent enough to obtain them, okay? So it's that intelligence that makes you ask questions and doesn't allow you to say, well, mama told me that this is, mm-hmm. Baloney. And or if you're a religious person, well, my clergy told me it's baloney. God put us here, yada, yada, yada. And all the 4,000-year-old mentality that we,
right.
that we have. You know, I'm not knocking religion,
no.
which is great.
Right.
You know, spirituality, yes. I consider myself spiritual, but I don't subscribe to any one religion. And the reason is they all think they're right. And
yeah.
and everybody else is going to hell.
Right.
You know?
Correct.
So how many different religions are there in the world? And what's the odds of you getting it right the first time? Right?
Or what's the odds of them, any of them, even being
there
right?
There you go.
You know? okay. I make a comparison to climate change.
Okay.
Here's my... to me, climate change deniers, okay?
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of climate change deniers out there right now, especially in this political atmosphere, okay? And just because you can't comprehend the science
mm-hmm.
behind climate change, it doesn't mean that it's not
right.
happening. The science is so advanced behind climate change. And, you know, we've had people tell us in layman's terms so that we can comprehend, oops, we're killing ourselves off. Okay. So, but it's hard for the average person to understand. But if you can get out of your own head about things, become less intimidated or scared of the findings, then you open up the possibilities to be part of the movement in a positive manner.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, obviously, climate change is more of a crisis and demands immediate attention, you know, currently, because
mm-hmm.
It's affecting all of us currently. But I would say that ET is pretty immediate as well, to some extent. You know,
mm-hmm.
the scary part about it is that we're so limited in our knowledge and that there's a certain group of people who have that knowledge, but their unwillingness to share with the public is what's upsetting. And then when they do share with the public, we, like a lot of other deniers to major scientific findings, say, wait, well, that's scary. Stop right there. Don't tell me anymore.
Yeah.
Don't tell me anymore. I don't want to hear it. You're crazy. Go put your little tin hat on. Leave me alone.
Mm-hmm.
Because as soon as it starts affecting us, it then becomes unmanageable.
Right, right. And we're out of our control.
Out of our control.
Out of our control, you know?
Right.
And I had my 10-year-old granddaughter tell me, God makes the weather.
Okay.
I knew where she was coming from because her mother is a denier, shall we say.
Yeah.
But I was going to say that my second book, I gave a presentation on it at MUFON, Mutual UFO Network, okay? And a lot of it, but like the second half of it, has to do with climate change and what have you. And as soon as I got to that part in my lecture, people started squirming in their seats. And
why?
Well, the more I went on with it, the head of MUFON, the state director at that time, just kind of cut me off and said, well, there are natural earth changes. Let's thank Mr. Twitchell for his...
I don't think anyone's denying that there's natural...
I think I'm done now, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
But I did not realize it was a partisan issue. I thought it was just a scientific fact.
Because it is.
Because it is. But there were those in the audience that said, oh, he's talking about global warming. You know, global warming, you can argue, you can't argue global warming. We see it. It's there. Okay? You can't argue climate change. We see it. It's there. And if you do, you got your head in the sand. The question is mankind contributing or causing this effect?
The answer scientifically is yes.
Yes.
Yes, we are. We are contributing to this effect. Absolutely, we are. That's scientifically proven. And again, I'm not a scientist. I don't want to sit and give, you know, facts. It's just do your own research. But I think a lot of these people who get squirmy or who get uncomfortable, I think it's because, you know, the leader of our country right now has...
Not particularly. Not particularly. Do I believe it? Not particularly.
Yeah. He has, pulled out of these things like the Paris Climate Agreement. I mean, and then those people who follow him have listened. And I'm not just talking about him. I'm talking about other people they may follow, whatever. Mm-hmm. But if someone who's had great power, like the president, like you brought up earlier, says something, then we definitely have a group of people who are going to follow that, irregardless of research and evidence that is presented, because to a lot of people, someone of power speaks more to them than real evidence. And I don't know where that comes from. I don't know why that is the case.
Yeah.
And it is scary, especially when it comes to something like climate change, because I do have a son. I hope to have grandchildren mm-hmm. who then have grandchildren. And mm-hmm. I hope we have a very safe planet environment, but who knows, maybe the aliens will come and make it safe.
Well, that's been touted for a while now.
Yeah.
They're here to save us. No, they're here to destroy us. I had a good experience when I was abducted. No, I had a bad experience when I was abducted. Well, there are malevolent and benevolent and people all over the world, and those who, you know, indifferent people.
Yeah.
Why should it be any different throughout the universe?
Why should what be different? The idea of
why should
ET?
It be? Yeah. In other words, ET, depending on the or the race, the you know, where they're from, mm-hmm. what their agenda might be.
Right.
You some are going to be benevolent, some are going to be malevolent, and mm-hmm. some are just indifferent. I think a lot of indifferent species are coming up and abducting people.
Yeah, that's tough. I mean, I think if we put all of our if we say anyone's going to save us, mm-hmm. I think the people who believe that someone may come and save us, regardless of who that someone is, mm-hmm. I think we then like to wipe our hands clean of the responsibility and focus on other things, knowing that maybe someone will come in and take care of that for us.
Yeah.
Therefore, we can kind of let it go. Again, the comparison to climate change. Let's just, you know, someone may come, and if our planet's destroyed, A, someone may come and save us. Or B, that's just the way that you know, God, a higher power wants it to be. So let's just let it go.
Right.
And the same with ET. I think that same belief happens, you know, to some people as well. Okay, well, if they're going to come and save us, they will. And if not, then let's just let it go and just kind of like float through life. And, you know.
We're just about to float through the world.
Yeah. Hey, we're just on a giant rock floating anyways. So,
that's right.
Hey.
That's right. I need to take one more break to remind our listeners you're listening to WHFR.FM, the station making waves. And this is We Are Not Alone. I'm David Twitchell, and we're speaking with Jennifer Stewart, who does she's an instructor for the deaf and hard of hearing.
Well, I instruct American Sign Language for our hearing students here at the college. So anyone who wants to learn sign language.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Tell us about that.
Oh, okay. Well, now my students are going to come to class. Are you that alien? Maybe I am an alien. You know, maybe that's what's going on.
Let me ask you this before I forget.
Okay.
Do you, now that you're on that subject, and then we'll get back to sign language. Do you expect any reprisals from students or other instructors or anyone who hears your voice on this show?
I don't care.
I think you are.
I think something, you know, now, when I was younger, you're more impressionable. You worry about what people think. I think for the last maybe 5 to 10 years of my life, I've let go of that. And I feel so much better to let it go. I do not care what people's opinions are of me. Right. I care about being kind, being open-minded, being loving, doing most for everyone that we can, and just being truthful and being honest with myself. Right. And once you start being open, truthful, and honest with yourself, if people don't like that or they have something to say about that's their problem. It's not my problem.
Really? Really?
Yeah.
You know, it's like you, one person being Jewish and the other being Christian.
Mm-hmm.
You know, my attitude is, do your thing. I don't care.
Oh, yeah.
But a lot of people, especially back when I was young, oh, that person's Catholic. We can't deal with that person.
Yikes.
Oh, listen.
Oh, yeah. I mean, hi. I watch the news. It's going on right now.
Oh, certainly it is.
It's never stopped.
It's going on more now.
Yeah.
It had curtailed for a while.
Yeah.
But now it's going on more.
I think...
What a shame.
It is. And the more influence we have to say that my particular belief, culture, religion, whatever, is better than someone else's. This is how wars start. This is how hate crimes start. Excuse me. This is how, you know, the division within ourselves. Instead of just saying, oh, you believe that? That's so great. Good for you. I believe this. Cool. Let's move on. At the end of the day, we're all the same. At the end of the day, aliens are still visiting us. Yeah. At the end of the day, flying saucers are still happening, people. It doesn't matter what you believe. It doesn't matter.
No, it really doesn't. What is.
You know? It just is happening. Either we accept it or we don't, that's on side. You know, I'll never try to convince anyone to believe in aliens. That doesn't help me live my life. You know, Joe Schmo off the street now believing in aliens because he heard me gab about aliens for an hour. That has nothing to do with me, and it doesn't even affect me at all.
No.
You know, and I think these people who have come forward with their stories feel the same way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't care what you believe. I don't care how you feel. I don't care who you talk to at night before you go to bed. I don't care about any of these things. All I care about is being truthful with myself and getting, you know, my opinion out there because I want to be transparent about who I am and my beliefs.
Right.
And I think that's very admirable for these people who do come forward with their stories. And it's very brave.
Right.
Because there is a general idea from the public that your quote-unquote weird, strange, or different, the what is normal, I teach this a lot in my class, who is normal, what is normal, those normal beliefs, they're the ones who should be respected and everyone else shouldn't be? Well, no, that's not how it should be. But I think that also comes into ET talk.
I think the funny part is that everybody thinks they're normal. Everybody
is the normal.
Yeah.
Right.
Their beliefs are normal.
Oh, how close-minded you, we are.
And you are totally wrong.
Yeah.
So who's the you? Everybody wait, who doesn't believe the way
wait,
I do.
Wait, but hold on. Maybe I am at fault to some extent because I'm sitting here saying my normal and me believing that everyone is equal and me believing that everyone's opinion is validated and valid and that everyone, you know, is justified for their own beliefs. Maybe that's not normal. Maybe this isn't right.
Never question yourself.
I'm just kidding. I'm always right.
Yeah, there you are.
There we go. There we go.
Okay. Now, back to this. Mm-hmm. Back to your sign language classes.
Oh, yeah.
Tell us about it.
Well, we started sign language classes about almost 4 years ago here at Henry Ford. We started with just one class. It slowly turned into two, quickly turned into five, quickly turned into, you know, now I think we're offering, you know, we started offering like 10 to 12 sections and, you know, and then now currently I'm teaching quite a bit of classes per semester. And the interest in American Sign Language has really, really grown. And it's been a beautiful thing to watch and to be a part of. I'm very lucky to be here at Henry Ford College and be able to bring sign language to these students. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's students, just any average student here at Henry Ford College who wants to learn the language, that's who takes my class. And we count it as a humanities credit. And you can come learn just basic ASL all the way up to the advanced level of ASL. We also offer a deaf study certificate, which does not make you an interpreter, okay? We always get that question. No, you cannot use this and become an interpreter and take the interpreter state test. You have to go to an interpreting program for that. However, we do offer a certificate, meaning, you know, if you put this on your resume, it's going to look a lot better for you. You're able to communicate, hopefully, by, you know, at a proficient level of sign language by the time you graduate with your certificate here.
Cool.
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
Did you see that... signer, is that what they're called?
Interpreter?
Thank you. Interpreter. Did you see that interpreter interpret the words of a rapper?
Yeah, yes.
And he was just, you know.
Yeah, out of this world.
Machine gun with words.
Yeah.
And so were her hands.
That's right.
And so you know sign language, so what she's... Was she saying the right things?
Absolutely, absolutely. People always believe sign language is just our hands. It's just our hand motions. It's just our hand signals. It's so much more than that. It's our mouth movements. It's our facial expressions. It's our natural gestures. It's our whole body language that encompasses sign language. And she got it all. These interpreters who are up on stage doing rap concerts, doing music concerts, they're really incredible. They're doing a great job, and they're conveying not only the words that are spoken, but the whole feelings and everything that's involved with the music as well.
That's great.
Yeah.
So, who in the Dearborn area? Who do they contact if they want to take your course in sign language?
Me.
Okay, so they should email me.
Yep, just me at me.com. JESTEWART 1 at HFCC.edu, and you can find me on the website.
Okay, so it's Jay Stewart.
JE Stewart 1.
JE Stewart 1.
Okay. Yes, and you can just, you know, hop on HFCC.edu and type in American Sign Language, and I'm the name that pops up, and just contact me. I'd love to have you in class.
Sounds great. Let's see, what was I going to say? So in the past 75 years, we've developed some amazing technologies. And do you think that ET has something to do with that?
That they have influenced our technology?
Yeah. They have we have back-engineered some crash disks or Roswell disk or whatever. there have been many crash disks, trust me.
Mm.
And Or ET themselves have kind of sponsored us.
Yes, you would find that, you know, these ex-military and Bob Lazar, you know, they're researching these spacecrafts all the time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's why Area 51, that exists. And we are researching, we are currently researching that. There's no, that is the truth. That is what's going on. So absolutely, we're learning from them. I don't think we're obviously not even close to being there yet.
Being
but
where?
Where they are. Where they're able. No. That's not even in question. However, no. I do think we're learning from that, and that's the whole point of something like Area 51.
Well, you got to admit, they had to take step one day in their endeavors to advance their technology
right
to the point to where they can visit us now. And well, for whatever reason, they crash,
mm-hmm.
and there's a lot of theories as to why the Roswell crash happened. The lightning, there came in a lightning storm. Our radar affected their navigation system. We shot them down. All kinds of things. I don't believe the we shot them down theory.
Right.
I think that, you know, if they can travel through space and time, I don't think we shot them down. Now, you mentioned time a couple of times.
Oh, boy.
Here we go.
Don't make me start talking on time, because it is so hard for my brain to comprehend. I'll teach you sign language. Don't make me talk about relativity. That's one of those things where you can watch these documentaries, you can listen to people like Stephen Hawking, and, you know, all these individuals who are so incredibly intelligent, and hear what they have to say about it, and I still can't comprehend it. This is one of those things I'm talking about, you know, wormholes, black holes, and being able to travel through time, and time becomes, you know, it's hard for me to truly grasp that.
Do you believe that's possible?
Well, yeah, of course. That's okay. How I think time travelers exist.
Okay.
That's, you know, of course I believe that, because it's proven.
So do you think that some ET, at least, mm-hmm. are time, us from the future?
Yeah, I read about that. There's a professor out there who has said that, you know, time travelers are us, human beings here from planet Earth,
who are
from the future. He says that they are ET. So we are actually ET. We're ourselves in the future coming back. That's what he says. You know, am I one to say that he's wrong? No, because someone can listen to me and be like, no, you're wrong. I don't know. I think it's all up in question. However, I don't believe ET are time travelers. I don't think these aliens are time travelers.
Okay.
I think they just exist in another universe, and they're just coming to say hi. They're just coming to see what's up. I think that time travelers can definitely exist as a human. I haven't been blessed with the ability to time travel, or else I probably wouldn't be sitting here right now. However, I do believe that can
exist. You'd be sitting here tomorrow.
Oh, I'd be sitting here yesterday? How does that work?
See, that's the confusion.
I'm very confused. Help my brain. You know, I'm going to be up all night. I can't handle this conversation.
Am I here? Am I tomorrow?
I am not fully... Yeah. This is where the dee-dee-dee-dee-dee-dee is coming back. It's coming back. It's hurting my brain. But yeah, you know, time travelers, it's hard not to exist that maybe a parallel universe is going on, and things are happening simultaneously in a different dimension. And then somehow we've all kind of coincided with each other. And, you know, I talk a lot about deja vu.
Mm-hmm.
And we talk about, I have the ability to sometimes, I'm sure we all have felt this, I knew that was going to happen. I knew that person was going to call. I knew. I could feel that. How did I see that happening? Or I feel like I've been here before. Or maybe, did I see that in a dream? And then the question of, was that a dream? Or did that actually happen before? And then it's just coming out in the dream. Or, you know, am I living some sort of, I don't know, parallel life in a different dimension at the same time, and that's why I'm able to kind of feel things and hear things. I think so too.
Have you ever had precognitive dreams?
meaning something that then comes true?
Yes.
Yes. And this is something that I know is hard for me to talk about. I don't normally admit to that. I think, you know, there's a lot of really credible and incredible mediums and psychics out there. Of course, there are hoaxes. Okay, we don't have to go there. Let's talk about the credible ones. And I think they suffer greatly with that gift. I think it's a very hard gift to have, to be able to feel those things. But I do feel like those people are just more in touch, and they're more in touch with maybe other dimensions or different realities. Right. And they have truly been given a gift that is not an easy gift to deal with. And I think I have not been given the gift to that extent at all. But I think me, you know, other average individuals, we've been kind of given some clarity of like, I really have a strong feeling this is going to happen. Or, you know, when people meet their soulmate, they're like, something feels different. We're on the same page about everything. What is this different feeling?
When I met my second wife, the second I laid eyes on her,
yeah,
I said to myself, I found you.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then I thought, no, I don't. I've never seen this person before.
Yeah.
Can't be right. Maybe she reminds me of someone. And
well, maybe she does remind you of someone that you've met before in a different dimension, in a different life.
And it didn't take long before we got
married. Happily married. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, I do feel like we beat, you know, soulmates is a whole different story, right? Yeah. But yeah, I think that there's people that come into your life that you're like, this feels right. Mm-hmm. And this feels like I have found, you know, the counterpart to my soul in someone else. We have all these things in common. We laugh. You know, there's all these things that you really only find in maybe one individual your entire life.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And what a beautiful thing.
And she and I were actually opposites.
Yeah, you can be opposites to some extent. Absolutely.
Yeah,
you got to balance each other out.
Yeah, that's
right. Then at the end of the day, you're so much the same.
So what is it, not to change the subject, but what is it that, I should say, which documentary or book did you...
if you could see my face, I was like...
Yes, recite one. No, I'm not going to ask you that. I'm going to say... what documentary or book did you read or watch that convinced you the most, hey, this is real?
Ooh, see, I knew it was real, and I've known it was real for so long, but obviously I've brought his name up a couple times, and, you know, I've been told to watch this. Originally, my boyfriend told me to watch it, and then other people have told me to watch it, the Bob Lazar Area 51 and Flying Saucers on Netflix. I mean, you can't go wrong. His story, and you know, he now resides right here in Michigan, which makes me feel like, all right, he's one of us.
At least the Michigander.
Yeah, heck yeah. And I think his story is truly incredible. And I think one of what really got me was his podcast with Joe Rogan. I listened to that prior to actually watching the documentary. I did it the opposite way around. And it's truly, if you don't believe it, I think there's something wrong with you. I think he does an incredible job at just laying it out there and saying, this is what's going on. Mm-hmm. And this is how it is. This is what I experienced. Take it or leave it. But I feel like I owe the public this knowledge.
Yeah.
And I think it's really brave of him that he came out.
We're running out of time, I'm afraid. It's really went past quickly.
You put a microphone in front of me and I'll talk for days.
You know, Stanton.
Thanks for just letting me gab.
You know who Stanton Friedman was? Okay. He was a big shot in ufology. He once told me personally, I've never met a microphone I didn't like.
Isn't that the truth? So, I feel at home.
So, once again, quickly tell us how people can get in touch with you to take your sign language course.
Yeah, you can get in touch with me through just emailing me at jestewart1@hfcc.edu. And you can find that email on the hfcc.edu website. Just type in American Sign Language and it will pop up.
Very good. Jennifer Stewart, thank you so much for joining us today. And, you know, I hope we can get together. And the more you study, the more you can come in here and talk about it, okay?
Oh, anytime. Thank you so much for having me.
And if our listeners have any questions or comments for me, you can email me at dtwitchell@hotmail.com. This show, as well as all of the forum shows, is now archived at WHFR.fm's website. Click on Talk Shows on the homepage, then Tuesday Forum. We Are Not Alone is also archived at my website, which is UFOImplications.com. That's UFOImplications.com. And stay tuned to WHFR.fm, the station making waves for the best in alternative programming. I want to thank you for joining us today, and please join us again the first Tuesday of each month at 12 noon, when we will again explore the mysteries of the UFO phenomenon. And until then, this is David Twitchell reminding you to keep an eye on the sky.
Broadcasting from the campus of Henry Ford College, this is WHFR Dearborn. Listener-supported, non-commercial radio.
Guys and dolls, you are at the malt shop with Daddy G here in WHFR, and we're going back to the 50s and the 60s. So hang those fuzzy dice on the rearview mirror, grab your favorite squeeze, and head on down to the malt shop, where the jukebox is playing. The kids are dancing, and here